5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Lucky he was pre-recorded because Dave f***ed it up.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That's not a great review.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M. I feel good.
Thursday, the 28th of October is the day, and a huge show coming up on the Rush Hour. We have Jakara Anthony talking all things Olympic freestyle moguls, the girl from Barwon Heads.
Yes.
That'll be fantastic. Brad Haddon, the cricketing superstar. He'll be part of the Triple M family.
Brad Haddon, yep.
Yeah. It's written in front of me, and I buggered it up. We got Elliot from PointsBet to talk all things racing and all things Elliot. But as always, off the top, we'll have Billy Sport. And Billy, you are here and you are wearing the worst shirt I've ever seen.
I should have seen the one I had on before this that I wasn't allowed to wear. But I had the long sleeves on today because it was raining this morning,
yes,
of course. And then I drove up the highway and it's warm again.
So. And so you didn't have an option underneath the long sleeve. So what did you go with off the top?
Well, I just had Fox FM.
So you went to the sponsors bin and took a T-shirt.
Yeah. And but they're our sisters, they're just upstairs there. So it's always good to support the sisters or the brothers or whoever they are up there. G'day, Rebsy.
Line in again.
Got him! Got him!
Knocked him over! Cooked poles destroyed! The goat's already on fire! 2 for 15.
2 for 15, and that, of course, James Brayshaw, who will head up the Triple M cricket team, which is announced this morning. Mm. Some very good names there. Lord Ian Botham, if you don't mind.
Tubby Taylor.
A Fujitsu.
Australia's favourite air.
Yeah. And one of them is Brad Haddon, hence why we're having a chat to Bradley, which will be good.
Isabel Westbury's going to join us. She is an absolute star. Look out for her this summer on the cricket coverage.
Where is she from?
She's from England.
Oh, righto.
Yep, she played for Middlesex, and she's a cricket journalist. As absolute superstar.
Righto, look out for her. But we got some footy news because we always like to start with a bit of footy news.
Yes.
And Mason Cox has signed a one-year deal at Collingwood because there was, I suppose, word that he might move on or go somewhere else, but he's got a one-year deal there. Now, I want to ask you about Collingwood while we're on Collingwood, Daisy.
Yes, Bill, let's go.
Where will Nick Daicos go in the draft?
Well, he's obviously going to go high, but whether or not that is pick one, we'll wait and see. I think North Melbourne have that pick. They take Horn Francis, the star from Adelaide.
Yes.
Pick two is GWS Giants, and I think they will go with Sam Darcy, son of the great Luke Darcy, ooh, Triple M's own.
Yeah.
So I think he slides through to pick three, which is the Gold Coast Suns, and then the Pies use their picks that they have to bid on.
Yep.
The player that is. So effectively, he could slide through to pick three, which is great news for the Pies because then obviously each time you slide through from one to two to three, not as many points will be required. So it looks like it's going to be an actually exciting start to the draft to see where that happens. It could be interesting if GWS do use pick two, which they got from Collingwood. That could be a real middle finger to the Pies.
So, but then also then Sam Darcy, the Dogs are going to have to use their picks.
Correct, yes.
Wow.
So
it'll be on
it'll
early.
Be shuffling down the board pretty quickly.
They banked a few picks in the trade period, though, the Dogs.
Well,
just
hence,
in case for
just
that.
Just in case, and that's what Collingwood have done.
Yes.
So
and Mason Cox, that's well done to him for getting an extension. Looked like there was an option for him to move.
That's where he was born, yeah.
That's exactly right. So well done to him. Cricket news as well, Bill.
The World Cup.
Yeah, you've declared the Bangladeshians as being your tip of the carnival, and they're all out for 124. And
they come across a good side. But no, they weren't great last night. I watched the Bangers, and they let me down. They only made 124. And the Poms, who were going nicely,
yes,
they chased them down in about 14 overs. So they are going beautifully there. Sheffield Shield is interesting. I always love the domestic cricket. And Victoria, all out for 199 yesterday. Cool. Marcus Harris, our man.
Yes.
Who he only made nine. If he gets some runs, he might open with Davey Warner in the first test up there in Brisbane. So it's important he gets some runs. Only made nine, and New South Wales are slowly getting there. They've dropped a few wickets too. They're 527, so they still need 72 with five wickets down. But Queensland are going beautifully. They are 6 for 468.
Oh, Marnus.
Marnus, 136, batting beautifully. But Khawaja, who by his own rights, said that his last inning century was the best 100 he's made for a long, long time. He made 119 again. So he might be a sneaky chance for that first test also.
Well, I'd tell you, Davey Warner's actually come out and said that he wants to open the batting with Will Pekowski.
Yeah.
So
we all would love to see Pekowski play. Yes. But it's just up to his you know,
whether he's right to go. Exactly. But again, if there's players in form and a good vein of form, it'd be interesting to see.
Well, mate, Khawaja's certainly up there.
Got to pick him on form, I reckon, Bill.
Well, they do. No doubt about that. So we'll see what happens there. And speaking of cricket.
Yes.
Now, Shoaib Akhtar, who was one of the great fast bowlers.
Oh, scary quick.
Scary, scary quick. He's on a cricket show over there in Pakistan, a big, big panel there. And have a listen to this. It's hard to listen. Hang on, Rob. So it's hard to understand. But first of all, you'll hear the host, and he has a crack at Shoaib, if you don't mind.
And how'd Shoaib take that?
Well, they went to an ad break.
Yes.
And he had a little think about it over the ad break, and then he comes back and says, well, you can stick it up your clacker. Have a listen.
You're being a little rude, so I don't want to say that. No, if you're being over smart, then you can go. I'm saying it on air.
A lot of apologies, guys. A lot of apologies. I'm resigning from PTV. Just from nicest TV by behavior. I don't think I should be sitting here right now. So I'm resigning. Thank you very much.
A genuine blow-up, a walk-off.
Well, it was. The host said, you can go. I don't know. Who's the host, by the way?
Niaz.
Yeah, some little pudgy. Anyway, so he said, you can go. I'm saying this on air. You can go. And Shoaib said, okay, I will. And he walked out. So packed up his bat and ball and went.
Yep.
Thanks, Rams.
That's that's interesting. Oh, I think
it's a blow up.
It is a genuine blow up. Having a look at the panel.
Yes.
What, there's nine people on this panel, Bill.
That's too big for starters, because no one gets a go.
Yeah.
Who's on the panel? Do I see going to have a David Gower?
You did?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. He's on there. So anyway, that's
Viv Richards.
Oh, so Viv.
It is a seriously big panel.
Too big.
That's why, well, probably not a disservice that he is done and done. Is that done and done
one
for the sport?
Basketball.
Oh, yes.
Josh Giddey.
How's our boy going?
Well, we've jumped on him.
Melbourne, absolutely.
We jumped on him. He's playing with the OKC Thunder, who aren't a great side. They had a really good win. They defeated the LA Lakers.
Oh, big upset.
A huge upset, 123.
How did he go?
18 points, 10 assists, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal.
Wow,
it's not bad. He is flying. He's a skinny little kid.
He is.
But he is going really, really well. So well done to you, Joshua.
Absolutely. He will hopefully one day be on the show, Bill. He's a Melbourne boy, so fingers crossed.
Played in Adelaide for the year, last year.
A very, very handy pickup, putting his name up already for Rookie of the Year. That is all for the sport. Coming up after the break, or after the next song, is Jakara Anthony, Bill. Jakara. And how is your knowledge of mogul skiing?
Very, very good.
I can't
it's
wait
gonna
for this.
Be a bumpy road.
It's a Rush Hour. Billy and Daisy on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
We must have better radio.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with Billy and Daisy, and we are 99 days away from the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics, and Jakara Anthony is hopefully going to win us a gold.
Australia has 5 Winter Olympics gold medalists. Bradbury, Camplin, Beg Smith, Bright, and
Lydia Lassiella.
Oh, no.
Lydia.
And after finishing 4th in the moguls at Pyeongchang, our next guest is hoping to add her name to that list at next year's Winter Games in Beijing. Please welcome Jakara Anthony.
Yes, Jakara, welcome to the Rush Hour. How are you going down there in sunny Bowen Heads? I'm meant to believe.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's pretty nice down here in Bowen. It's a beautiful day today and just loving being home at the moment.
So the real question is, you're born in Cairns, you live in Bowen Heads. How do you train for and become a mogul skier?
Yeah, bit of a weird one, hey?
It is.
So my parents met back in the day up at Mount Buller, so snowfields in Victoria.
Lovely.
So when my brother and I started school, we would go up there for school during term 3, and that's how we got into skiing.
Is there a trampoline or anything in Bowen Heads?
I actually have one at my house, which we train on quite a bit, actually.
Oh, good. Now, the moguls that you do, right, it's that real bumpy downhill race. But do you race against someone else, or is it timed? And also, I was watching last night somewhere, and you have a couple of little jumps in the middle of it.
Yeah, so moguls is a whole bunch of bumps, like you said, but it's got 2 jumps in the middle, so you got to do 2 different tricks in the run.
Yep.
And then there is also a time component. So time is 20% of our score, jumps are 20%, and the bumps are 60%. And then there is another discipline of moguls called dual moguls, which isn't an Olympic sport yet, but hopefully one day. And it's a knockout system. So two people go down the run next to each other, yep. one person bump out, one person goes on, which is really exciting to watch.
I'm not sure if you've seen the training video, Bill, on the trampoline, but it is incredible. It's almost as if you look like you're trying to double bounce yourself, but without moving.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like. I'll give you that. It's the closest thing we can get to doing moguls without actually doing them, really. So we use that as part of our training a lot.
And so is the point to keep your upper body as still as possible? Because in the video, there's like a fence behind the trampoline. Your legs are going up and down at a rate of knots, pistons pumping away, and the top half is as still as all get out. Is that sort of the aim of how you get a good score from going top to bottom?
Yeah, exactly that, because that's what we're trying to do on snow. We're trying to keep our upper bodies as steady as possible while our lower bodies do all the work. So your legs are going nuts and your upper body's just, you're trying to hold it steady.
So how do you find out you're good at going through the moguls? Obviously, you said you're up there at the ski field, you're good at going down the flat slopes. Did one day you just go through some bumpy sort of setup and go, geez, I'm good at that?
Well, actually, in Australia, even though winter sports is relatively small compared to a lot of our other sports, we have inter-school competitions which run in Victoria and New South Wales, and a couple of other states run some too. And you can try all the different disciplines in it. So alpine, ski across, moguls, snowboarding, cross country. So that's how I got into moguls, actually.
Oh, good. Hey, now where are we going? Beijing. Tell me, where are the venues there? Where do they? Where do you have your moguls there in Beijing?
Yeah, the moguls are at a little resort called Secret Garden, which is a few hours' drive out of Beijing, but I think they've actually got speed trains now that get you there a lot faster than that. So we haven't skied that course yet, but we've skied one 5 minutes up the road at Taiwu Ski Resort.
Righto. And how many athletes? About 40, I think, Australians are going over?
I've been reading in the news that we're going to have 40 athletes. It's hard to tell until qualification periods are over, and that's about 2 weeks before the game. So
you've still got to qualify, do you?
Yeah, so we're about to head off on Monday, actually. And for us mogul skiers, we have about 10 qualifying events. We had some last season as well. So some of us already have qualifying results, but we need to see what everyone else does this year too.
In terms of the Olympic Village, what's that experience going to be like? Do you have to fly in, fly out like we saw with the Summer Olympics? Is that sort of set up, or is there a touch more freedom now?
So our playbook got released a couple of days ago. I think we're allowed to head over to the games earlier than the Summer Olympians were, but it's still 48 hours after your event, you've got to be out of there. So it'll be in and out relatively quick, but still be able to go get the job done.
And the uniform, have they brought that out yet? What are they, big duffel coats or something?
I have not seen the uniform yet. Oh. Carbon give us all our outerwear, but I'm sure they'll do a pretty good job. I liked the uniform last game, so we'll see what they bring for us.
Well, just make sure if you do win, you don't do what some of the Aussies did on the plane ride back from the Summer Olympics and had a
what they do.
They had a bloody good time, Bill. That's what they did.
They're allowed to, surely, aren't they?
Well, I think, yeah, responsibly.
Jakara, if you win, I'll give you a free Parmian pot at the Cremorne Hotel in there at Geelong. You just come in and bring in a couple of friends and away you go.
I'll be holding you to that one.
Good. Where do you go now? The BHP? Sorry, I got the stutters. The BHP, is that you go? Bowen Heads pub?
I mean, we could make that happen.
All right. Oh, there you go. That
good,
is,
hey, good luck. Yeah, good absolutely. Local Geelong girl. This is fantastic.
We love that. Yeah. All the very best with that. All the very best with your preparation. And we will definitely be rooting for you. Go well.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. Excited to have you guys supporting us.
Go.
99 days until the Winter Olympics kicks off, and Jakara Anthony will be a big part of it. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Hey, Jimmy boy, plenty of sport. I've got different all sports of sport. Oh. Thanks to our good friend.
What was that?
Daisy Thomas and Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and Triple M Cricket announced their summer lineup, and this man will be front and centre, Brad Haddin.
Triple M is back rocking cricket this summer, and this man is on our team.
What a 100! He deserved one at the Gabba. Now Brad Haddin has one in Adelaide.
He
had 80 career dismissals against the Poms.
That's gone. Not your bike. Great catch from Brad Haddon.
And this summer, there's no doubt he'll be giving them a send-off from the Triple M commentary box. Please welcome Brad Haddon.
Absolutely, Brad Haddon. Welcome not only to the Rush Hour, but more importantly, the Triple M family.
Thanks, boys. It's going to be exciting summer, especially the style Triple M's going to call this exciting Ashes series.
A bit of fun and a bit of serious stuff, I reckon. It's a good team. Mark Taylor, of course, Fujitsu.
Australia's favourite air.
Yeah, Lord Ian Botham. And then you got Brayshaw. He'll think you'll run it, of course. Mark Howard, and you got Greg Blewett and Brad Haddon, as we said, Merv Hughes. So, some good, fine cricketers there, and you'll have a bit of fun with it too, I reckon, Hads.
Yeah, I reckon we will. We've got Mark Taylor, as you said, who'll lead the show. But you've got BP Botham, and he's going to give us a good look and a good insight into what this England team are about, especially now that Ben Stokes is here. It's sort of livening everything up a little bit. It looked a little bit vanilla, that squad. But now with Stokes back, it's game on.
How much of an impact can he have? Obviously, he's had the couple of finger surgeries, hasn't had a lot of time with the bat and or ball. How much of an impact can he have on the series?
I think he'll have a huge impact. He's one of those players, whether it be bat or ball, he can contribute to the game. But the other side of that is he makes people around him better. I think Joe Root will really enjoy having him there. He's probably the best cricket brain in the team, Stokes. So for Joe Root to have him there, that's a big bonus. And the Australian crowds are like him too. He's got a bit of presence about him. He's got a little bit of white line fever when he gets across that white line, or even not in the white line, actually in car parks as well. But but he's one of those characters that I think Australia are going to enjoy watching because he's a world-class performer.
Well, he's just like an Aussie, really, isn't he? I think is he New Zealand?
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I think he win after the Ashes, New Zealand Sportsman of the Year. So they got New Zealand, South Africans. Mate, they'll take whoever they can. The Poms.
They will. Hey, the World Cup's been good. I've loved watching it. A couple of sides have done really well there. The West Indies are just blowing up again. Pakistan, you never know what you're going to get, but at the minute they're all turning up. And the Aussies, are we happy with the top three there, Brad?
I'm happy that we won. I think it was both teams in that first game, Australia and South Africa, looked really tentative.
Yep.
But we got the result we need. I think one thing you've got to remember in 2020 is that top three will come good. Finch and Warner at some stage will win us a game. So I wouldn't be too worried about what they're producing at the moment. We need them producing when the big matches come. And that's what David Warner's done for a long time. He's produced when the big matches are on. So I wouldn't worry too much about their form at the moment. It'll only become an issue if we're losing a lot of games. But I see we're enough to cover them at the moment.
What have you made of the Quinton de Kock scandal, if you will, over there? It's been the big talking point.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, not having the full story, knowing what's gone on behind closed doors. We know South African cricket and sport in general have had their issues with having to play quota players, an even number between black and white players. So without knowing what's gone on behind closed doors, it's going to be an interesting one to see how it unfolds. To me, it's a personal decision what to do. So I know South African's board's been really strong on they want to show a united front, but it's a really tough one because it's a personal choice what they do. So before we know everything that's gone on behind the scenes, I don't think we can judge too much yet till more comes out.
Yeah, and we haven't heard from Quinton, have we? It'd be nice to hear from him because they tell me, well, I hear that he does a lot of good work over there in South Africa. But the problem also is if you've got a cricket board telling you what to do, surely the players could come up with something to show their respects. Do you think that should happen?
Yeah, I think it's a really individual one. And that's why we know in the past, South African cricket have had things like this behind the scenes with selections and things. So I think till we know the full story, and as you said, we need to hear from Quinton to get the full story. We're only speculating what happened. But the disappointing thing for me is the Cox's a world-class player. He's one of those guys that bring people through the gate. You want to see him playing some cricket, especially at a World Cup, and he loves his form in the game. So that to me is the disappointing that we might not see him again for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. Still a bit to play out with that one. The Ashes tour, of course, is coming. It's up and coming. It starts in Brisbane.
Hear it on Triple M.
Absolutely. By the time you get to Boxing Day, though, 80,000 at the G. You've obviously played at the MCG a few times. How is it out there in the cricketing sense? We've done it in the footballing arena, but the crowd, Boxing Day, Bill, the snakes and beers are up everywhere.
Goal after the siren, Brad, from 80 metres out. You're aware of that, or
Bay
not?
Bay 13 would have went off, yeah.
Well, I don't know if we had Bay 13, but anyway, yeah, must look forward to that. Everyone wants to play Boxing Day.
Yeah, it is. And Boxing Day is a really special occasion for the crowd. It's always packed. You've got the Bay 13 to get there real early, but by the time the first ball's bowled, you've already had half a dozen kicked out. So it's a real, really good time. And for an Ashes campaign, the theatre just grows. You normally have 25,000 Barmy Army singing, all red face, sunburned from being around the beaches and on the drink through Christmas. But it's a really special time, and it's even more special when the Poms come out. You can see the banter growing in the crowd. So it's great for a player to be a part of. It's one of those moments that you do miss not being able to be involved in a Boxing Day test.
Did the Barmy Army ever go you? Did they ever have a chant just specifically for you?
Oh, mate, I tell you what the problem I found with the Barmy Army. Mate, they were good for the game. That's one of the beauties when you toured the England to get on with the songs. But I remember batting with Mitch Johnson, and oh, my gosh, they went hard at Mitch one summer. But I remember batting with him in the middle, and I couldn't get the song out of my head. So he swings it to the left, he swings it to the right, Mitchell Johnson's bowling his. But he's my teammate. I'm looking him in the eye, and I'm singing along with the part. So they're real catchy, the songs.
Is that your favourite memory, obviously, other than winning? Or was it maybe with the ACT Comets? I used to watch him when he played back at the Comets. Oh, he was a star back then.
Mate, I tell you who was a star back then. I was only young, 17, coming into the game. And I don't know if he did me any good. Merv Hughes' day preparation and the night before, mate, that was a new level. I thought you meant to get your Gatorade in, have your pass the feet, not put two Coronas down your throat and for all the crowd and the bar to cheer.
It didn't really hurt him, did it, the big fella? He still would charge in.
Oh, mate, I tell you, he was really good for the Comets that year. He bowled about 110 Ks that year till we played Victoria. And I remember him saying to me, said, mate, stand back a little bit today. And I was thinking, man, I'm not standing back. You barely got to me the last couple of games.
Exactly.
But I tell you what, he was a different bowler when he played Victoria. He was after the great Dean Jones. Ooh. He was after he was after Chuck Berry. Yep. He wanted a piece of Victoria that day, and we're lucky enough to beat him.
They go out in Canberra and
swerve and murmur with the mow out everywhere.
Where would you go in Canberra, fair dinkum? Everything closed at 9.
The Moosehead? Is it the Moosehead?
No, the private bin used to be the go when I was there. Yeah. Was it a private bin, Hads?
Yeah, it was a private bin, then straight down to Mooseheads after.
Yeah, there it is, Mooseheads. There we go. Well, we look forward to that, Hads. We look forward to you joining, of course, the Triple M Summer of Cricket team, all kicking off with the Ashes Tour that starts in Brisbane on the 8th of December, then to Adelaide, then the Boxing Day Chest, the SCG, and the Whack-Out that is all here live and exclusive on Triple M.
Thank you, Hads.
No worries, boys. Have a good day.
Billy and Daisy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Bill's joke still to come to wrap up another massive show.
Yes. Come on, Bill.
Come on, Fat.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Where are on your his, Buccaneers?
On his buck, on his buckethead.
Dale Thomas.
Oh!
Billy Brownless.
Oh, wow!
This is Triple M's Rush Hour.
What's going on there? Shut up, Jim. Shut up, Jim. He's a pain. What about him with the bowl of Grange the other day? Just say that.
Absolutely bunter.
He posted a photo of Lise with the Premiership Cup today on Instagram.
Did he?
Yeah.
Jeez, Lisa's right in there. Let me tell you. Wow, it's her birthday too, I reckon.
Is it? There
tomorrow.
You go. Okay.
Good. Happy birthday to her. Now, I've got a question before you go anywhere.
Yes, okay.
I've got a question off the top here.
Okay.
Because I asked you a good question the other day.
Why you did. Well, yeah. And
why
it got
do
a
men
pretty,
have nipples?
It got a pretty good answer in my defence.
You actually did quite well off
Thank
the cuff.
You.
This one. The word scent, S-C-E-N-T, is the S or the C silent? I love it when it's dead silence because that means a good question, Bill.
S-C-E-N-T.
Scent.
Have a think about it. Okay. We'll go to a song and before the joke, you can answer the question.
Right, I'll have a think. Good.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Dale Thomas and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour on the Listener app and on your radio tomorrow. Brag Artist of the Week, an idiot file, and a trainer is in form. Danny O'Brien's going to join us
as well. That is a bumper Friday edition, isn't it?
Another Bowen Heads boy down there. He's got his, that's where his property is. Have you come back to me with scent yet?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. It's confusing. It's a diagraph. So the S and the C, mate, is a diagraph.
Like a diagraph.
A PH in.
They Do you mean it. A diagram or something?
No, a diagraph is the term. Tilly Thomas actually taught me this and she's in grade one. Right. So neither of them is my answer. They both come together to make a sound.
So wouldn't it be ent then?
We'll move on from that. I'll tell you what, that's not. That's could just absolutely stuff me brain this has. Anyway, Wayne from Wangaratta, Bill.
Wayne.
He shot me an email.
Wayne has.
Again, loving your work, Daisy. Fantastic. Did I see you at a pub yesterday? Question mark. Not the point. He said, what was Fat on about with that question to Jakara?
Where do you go now? The BHP? Oh, sorry, I got the stutters. The BHP, is that you go? Bowen Heads pub?
Not only that, Bill, it was so stuttery that it got answered as if you were almost propositioning young Jakara for a date.
I got distracted.
You did?
Yes.
And you absolutely buggered it up. Well, hopefully one thing you won't bugger up, Bill, is this joke. So finish us off with an absolute ripper, please.
Yes, I will.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
Ah, Daisy boy. You know, I once went to a fancy dress party.
Not today, what you
were. Dressed as a loaf of bread. The birds are all over me.
Oh, no.
And I got another one.
Oh, good.
What's 4 inches long?
Oh, boy.
2 inches wide and drives women crazy.
Is this in a probes?
An empty toilet roll.
Out of the two of them, I think we should have stopped at the first one somehow.
No, that's good, Bill. So you get two for one there.
Yeah.
Cent. See, I got you on that too.
You did, yeah. Mm,
well done. Been a good show.
Yeah, it's been.
Looking forward to tomorrow. Friday. Freedom Day.
Can you actually bring in some nice attire tomorrow, please?
I'm wearing my best shirt.
I look forward to it. See you tomorrow.